Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It is the 9 p.m. hour. This is the funnest hour of the night. I appreciate everybody who's hung in there. I know the first 2 hours, actually the first 2 hours are pretty good. So I hope you enjoyed them as much as I enjoyed doing the first 2 hours. And now we've reached the third hour, which is like the dessert. First hour is the appetizer. Second hour is, I mean, I could continue this dinner analogy, but I think you understand, the main course. And third hour, I guess, is the dessert. That doesn't really make sense because the first hour really is where you want to start with your best stuff. And then you want to try to kind of carry them over into the second hour, which at that point, I don't really know. And I don't eat a lot of fancy meals. So it's like, is there different forks? Is that a salad fork? This analogy lost its steam a long time ago. So I'm going to move on now. I'm going to move on to other things. I hope you guys are having a great night. Do me a favor. Check out the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. I want to hang out with you outside of the show. And now you can do that. If you download the podcast, it's like having me in your pocket, but not in a creepy way. Like a cool, fun way, just your buddy who's always accessible. It's really kind of a one-way relationship. I'm not going to probably respond to a lot of stuff if you download the podcast. I will tell you a lot of things. Like I'll just talk to you for 3 hours straight every single day. And you can download that. You could, and we have hundreds of episodes now. Like over 100. Not hundreds, but over 100. And they're all pretty good. I mean, the majority of them, right? Now, that's the point. In a job like this, where you're doing 3 hours of live radio every day, Monday through Friday, you're just trying to like do pretty good. And you know what? I think, honestly, compared to all the other shows available to you, I mean, I would put us up against anybody. Ratings would certainly agree. And that's thanks to you guys. You guys are tuning in. Thank you so much for that. But enough about me. Let's get to some more stuff. Actually, no, this one's still about me. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I still have some fire in my belly about this. Over the weekend, my wife and I and my 3 sons, soon to be 4 sons, but right now is a cute little baby to my wife's belly. It's going to cook a little bit longer. Still needs a couple months. My pregnant wife and my 3 sons and I, we all jumped in my truck and we drove out to my in-laws' house. My in-laws, I've talked about this before, they live out near Port Townsend. So the only way out there is we can either drive south and we can go around Tacoma and over the bridge, or we can try to take one of the various ferry routes. We can either go far north, up near, up over Whidbey Island, or we can do what we tend to do, which is to go to Edmonds Kingston, or we can go south. There's another boat south. I don't know all the names of the boats. We usually do the Edmonds Kingston. And normally in March, because we're only mid-March, normally in mid-March, we can get on pretty quick. Summertime is a disaster. Like summertime, I don't even see my in-laws in the summertime. We send them letters and occasionally we will get on a Zoom just to see what they still look like. But we know in the summertime, unless we're making a long-term commitment to be over there, we're not going to get over to see them because the ferry lines are insane. Part of this is Washington State Ferry's fault. We've talked about this many times. They have a bunch of the boats in the fleet are just aging out. So I think normally if they have a full working fleet, they're like 21 boats. But because they have so many aging boats with problems, they also have staffing issues, all these different things. It's like a perfect storm. And what it equals is they're usually down a few boats. And recently we were doing first part of the year, we were talking about how they were operating at like 13 or 14 boats, which is like 2/3 the fleet where they should be operating, which means Edmonds Kingston run, which should have a boat every 35 minutes or something like that. Now I'm waiting a long time. So over the weekend, this is, I hope this is not common for the rest of time, but this is just what we were doing. We waited almost 3 hours to get on the boat. We must have hit it at like the perfect bad time. 3 hours sitting in a line with my 3 sons, 8, 6, and 4, and they're in the back seat of my truck. They're just like inches behind my head as I'm sitting there just praying to God that it will that it'll all be over soon. And then here's what happened. And this was actually like, I think maybe this was kind of one of those moments where we weren't planning on having this happen, but it kind of made all of the people who are, you know, we're all different travelers, like this disparate group of people. None of us know each other. Like, no, none of us recognize each other. Nobody knows each other in these lines. You're just sitting there behind or in front of somebody in these ferry lines. In Edmonds, the line, at some point, as you get closer to the terminal, you guys know this, as you get closer to the terminal, it splits into two lines. So I'm sitting there, and there's a guy who comes up next to my car. And he's in a U-Haul truck. Youngest guy, I don't know, he's probably 20s or something. He's too young to know any better. He didn't know what he was stepping into. So I have waited now. At this point, I'm probably like an hour 10 in. But again, that's an hour 10 with three kids in the back of the car. And so that's like a million years. So I'm sitting in this line. And this, I kind of like, in the side of my eye, I kind of notice like a big presence on the side, out of my, you know, peripheral. And I look over there, and there's a big U-Haul truck. Not just like a, you know, regular car. Even a regular car, it's like what he was attempting to do is evil. Which, you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to get in the line. He's in a U-Haul truck trying to do this. And he pulls up next to me as I'm waiting in line. What he doesn't know is I'm at this point with my three kids in the car and my pregnant wife. Love my wife. Best thing in the world. Best thing that ever happened to me in life, but she's pregnant. So she's got a lot of demands right now, but she's the best. She's an angel. But my kids, I have three young boys. So I can be forgiven for some hyperbole here. But I'm sitting there and I look over there and this U-Haul truck pulls up next to me and he kind of sits there for a minute. I'm like, point to my wife, like, what's this guy doing? And she's like, I don't know. Don't let him in. Like I need to be told, don't let him in. There's nothing in the world that I'm going to do to let this guy in. Like, he doesn't even understand how hard I'm not going to let him in. So he sits there next to me for a second, hoping that I don't even know what he's hoping. I think he's hoping that I just somehow become a completely different person and just sit there and wait and let him in and merge. A giant U-Haul truck in front of me in line. And then after about 30, 40 seconds, which is a long time because now he is holding up traffic that's trying to get down into Edmonds. You know, that big hill, like if you're in Edmonds and you're heading down towards downtown or maybe you're heading to the beach or something. And it was Saturday. It was gorgeous, like super, super nice weather on Saturday. Super gorgeous. Everybody was out. Everybody's having a good time. And we're sitting in the ferry line. It's probably like, I don't know, 65 degrees at this point, maybe like 12 o'clock. We've been waiting hour and a half. This guy parks next to me. He's blocking traffic. So now, like, kind of some of that anxious energy transfers over to me because now it's like, all right, well, all I got to do is let him in and I can get traffic flowing again. No, not gonna happen.
Mm-mm. No, 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 hell no.
That's what it was like. That's what I felt like. I'm sitting there like, not a chance. And then tries to make eye contact. Actually, no, he's avoiding eye contact with me. He's like not looking because he's like kind of passive aggressive, which makes sense. So, but, okay, side note to a side note. Somebody who cuts in on a ferry traffic line, you can hear my blood still boiling. This is like 2 days later, like two full days later. This was Saturday morning. I had all day Sunday to cool down and all day today. And now it's late on Monday night and I'm still boiling about it. So this guy gets next to me, and then he flips his blinker on, as if I haven't figured out, as if I have not cracked the code on what he possibly wants to do, which is to get into this ferry line. Let me tell you something else about a ferry line, which is kind of cool, and I discovered this. There is no more place, maybe in the world, outside of combat, in war, where people so quickly become part of the same team. All of us, all these different people are just instantly against this guy. People in front of me, people behind me, I can see them all watching and they are willing me to not let this guy in. And now we are all operating on anger and spite and we're waiting. And then this guy, he realizes at some point, okay, Jake's not, he doesn't know my name, but this guy is enjoying this too much. He's not going to let me in. And I mean, I would have eaten this guy. I would have like cannibalized, eating this guy. I was so not going to let him in. I wouldn't have actually cannibalized him. That's gross. But anyway, so he decides, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump two or three cars ahead. He jumps two or three cars ahead and he's kind of sitting there. And just, again, he's got his blinker on. Doesn't seem to care that there's now 50, 60 cars that have piled up behind him. People, I'm telling you, the teammates that I made, I mean, like the lifelong friends, just with a look, the lifelong friends that I have made sitting in that ferry line. It's like we were travelers from all around the world speaking different languages, and suddenly we all spoke the same language. And it was the language of anger. We're not letting this guy in. No way. No how. And there's a guy. So like there's an old guy. He was right near me. And we had kind of like at some point, you know, when the line divides into two, we had seen each other. And he's sitting next to me and he's got a veteran's hat on. I don't know what he was. He's clearly a military veteran. And I think it was a Navy cap of some kind. And he's sitting there, and this is a fellow who's, you know, he's on in his years. Not a young guy anymore. He's got an oxygen mask, but you can see he's seen some stuff. He's sitting there waiting in line too. And me and him meet eyes, and we're just like, nope, we're not letting this guy in. Not going to happen. Then, and this was the coolest part, somebody else in line who had a little, who was, you know, obviously as upset as I was. I'm sorry to talk about this for so long. It was just so ridiculous. And you guys on the text line, I know I see it. You guys are texting me like crazy. You know what it's like in a ferry line when somebody tries to cut in. It's wrong. There's an inherent wrongness about it. It's evil. Evil. Like Dr. Evil, just laughing. It's evil to jump in line. One of these guys puts his hand out the window, lifts it up high, puts a finger in the air. Not the middle finger. He wasn't being rude. But he gave like almost like a, you know, like a round him up. Let's round him up, boys. But he was signaling this young guy, like trying to teach him. It's a teachable moment. Trying to teach this young guy like, hey, buddy, flip it around. Turn it around. And it was just that thing. It was like one finger in the air, making little circles. It's like a universal sign. Everybody knows what that is. Like it's kind of the wrap it up sign. But it was a flip it around. And he rolls down his window. He goes, hey, buddy, flip it around. Head back up. Go back up the hill. Because he would. At this point, he has now probably burned 45 minutes of future waiting in line time. If he would have just turned around instantly when he got there, and if he would have just gone up the hill, he would have been in line and he would have caught up eventually at some point. Not to us, because we were way ahead of him in line. But he wasted so much time. So he's sitting there, and then this old guy, I love it. So then I start doing it. Now we're all speaking this common language. Now we all have something to like rally behind, which is this symbol. Turn it around, buddy. Head back up the hill. And it was like, my wife is looking over at me. She's like, you're just enjoying this too much. And I was enjoying it way too much. Because I'm watching this guy and I see, like, we're not breaking. This line is not breaking. You're only as strong as your weakest link. We had no weak links. Saturday morning in the Edmonds Kingston ferry line. Every single person was there to stay. Not letting this guy in. I was part of something, you guys. I was part of something special. It's ridiculous. I apologize for talking about this for so long. And then, let me just like tell you this last part, because this like it just made me feel so good. And I was like, I was getting goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about this. And I got a really good life that this is my big problem right now. I got a great life. God has blessed me. I'm very blessed. But this was the big, this was my, I like to share things with you guys. This is my big Saturday thing. This is my big weekend story to tell you. So then, this old guy that I mentioned a second ago, this Navy veteran, this guy who's seen some things, this guy who's fought in wars, he rolls his window down. He's in an oxygen mask. Think about that. He needs help breathing. And still, he took time to roll down the window. This U-Haul guy standing next to, you know, just like waiting to try to merge in front of him. He rolls down his window. Must have been 85 years old. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe fought World War II. I don't know. It could have been 90. Heck of a nice looking old guy. Rolls his window down. He's got his oxygen mask on. I can see the steam in there. He's fired up. He sticks his hand out the window. Thrusts that old hand up into the air. Points towards the heavens. Roll it up, buddy. Flip it around. And he does the same thing. There's like 10 people at this point doing the like turning around sign. Now I think people are just doing it for laughs. Now they're just having fun doing it. Watching this guy. He is not getting the message. I have no idea what this guy was thinking. I don't know. Maybe there was like a language barrier. And he just doesn't. I have no idea what this guy was thinking. But he learned a lesson that day, which is that you do not skip a ferry line. Don't do it. Because people are not going to let you in. There is no more bonding experience than standing in a ferry line with complete strangers. I'm sorry, waiting in a ferry line with complete strangers in your car as somebody's trying to skip line and merge in front of you. It ain't going to happen. Not a chance. And as soon as the old guy did it, I think that's when this like young guy in the U-Haul was shamed. I saw him like, he turns off his blinker and he like hits the gas and he goes forward. We all watch him hit the gas and then he flips around and he starts driving back up the hill to get back in line. I don't know if he ever made it across. It took me a further hour and a half from there. I'd already been in line for like over an hour, which is, it was a long day. It was a long day. But you know what? It's these little victories in life that really, really make it worth it. It was so ridiculous. I was so excited. As I was sitting there, I'm like jotting notes down on my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to share this story about this U-Haul guy. I can't believe what an idiot this guy is. I can't wait to tell you guys about this. And when I saw the old guy, that was just like the perfect cap. I'm like, this needs an ending. I hope this has a good ending. And when the old guy reached his hand out the air, right at the window, and he raised that old hand up towards the heavens, and he told that guy to flip it around and get out of here. And then he did it, and he listened, and he turned around, and he came back from the direction. You know, then he's gone, and I don't know if he ever made it across. I hope he did. I hope everybody gets across on the ferries. It's no fun sitting in line. Obviously, nobody likes it. Not a good time. And Edmonds ferry boats? I'll take that back. Not just Edmonds. Washington State ferries? Y'all need to fix this problem. I waited for 6 hours just in ferry lines between Edmonds and Kingston, and that's with kids in the car, and that's wrong. Nobody should have to do that. Also, where's the tattletale line signs gone? I'm not a person who likes to tattletale. I don't want my kids to be tattletales, but when somebody's trying to cut in line, I'm looking for that number. Washington State Ferries, did you guys take that number down? I want to see it. I want to call that number. They used to have signs like they do in New York. See something, say something, be a hero. To a lesser extent, it's like calling, like tattletale on people when they're cutting in line in the ferry boat line. But I don't see them anymore. I don't know if they took that down. I don't know if that's a policy. They just said, we're not like worrying about it anymore. But let me tell you what, people call that number. Maybe they were calling it too often. I looked for it and I would have called it if I could have found it. And I would have tried to report this guy. But we didn't have to. We solved the problem. We took the we took it into our own hands and we solved it. So that was my victory story from Saturday. And I wanted to share it with you guys because kind of changed my life. No, it didn't. It didn't change my life. It was ridiculous. But I want to share it with you. I have now spent way too much time on that. So I do apologize. But whatever. That was my weekend. It's my show. I can talk about whatever I want. All right. We got a lot of more great stuff coming up. A lot of more great stuff. That doesn't make sense. We have a lot of other great stuff coming up in the rest of this hour. I hope you guys have a chance to hang out. I promise it's not all going to be fairy stuff. In fact, I'm going to make you a promise right now. The rest of the show, no more Washington State fairy stuff, because I've already talked about it for 18 minutes and 25 seconds, which is too long to tell you a ridiculous story. But I felt like I wanted to get it off my chest. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Let's hang out. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I want to play you guys this audio. I've actually found this really fascinating, and I played a little bit of this last week. Patton Oswalt was on The View, and he said something that I thought was really kind of neat. He was talking about the news, and he was talking about how everybody's view of the world seems to be skewed by news. And I'm sorry, he says like by the news business, not by news, which I thought was a really interesting point to make. And then Bill Maher, these guys are both comedians. Maybe there's just something about the funny way they see the world. But Bill Maher said something really interesting about how everybody needs to stop whining and how the world is actually a really great place and how most of us, especially here in America, we actually have it really, really good. And so I have some clips of that. But I want to first play this Patton Oswalt thing. I found this really, really fascinating. This was him. He was on The View. And he says, you know what? We're not seeing news right now. We're seeing the news business. And that's like changing the way that we perceive the world.
We have been way closer to the brink than we are now. I think that right now, the way that the news portrays things, because a lot of times you are being exposed to the news business rather than the news. And the news business is about getting eyes on that screen. Right. So they do have to make it seem like... there's no way back from this.
Yeah.
But we've been way closer, leaning over the abyss, and we've pulled ourselves back with way less technology and knowledge than we have now.
And I think the technology itself that makes it just as bad in many ways.
Yes, exactly. But also, any technology has its good use, its malign use, and then, you know, you can use an axe to cut wood and build a fire. You can also drop it and cut your foot off, and you can murder someone with it. So it depends on how you use that technology. And this especially, when you watch Manhunt, you see that, oh, any new technology can be misused, can be and right now we have the chance, I think, to use technology, which, yes, has kind of messed things up in a lot of ways, to once again pull us back to from the brink.
So he was on The View. He's promoting this new TV show he's got called Manhunt, which digs into the aftermath of President Abraham Lincoln's assassination, the search for his killer. And so that's what he was on The View to talk about. Like, listen, we've gone through some really crazy times in our country. And he's right. We really have. And life right now, when you actually compare it to how it used to be, people are complaining a lot today. And one of the things that we like to focus on this show, I had a friend. This was actually a really cool compliment. A friend of mine listened to the show, who's from out of town. He doesn't live here, so he doesn't listen on the radio, but he listened to the podcast. And he goes, hey, I really like how upbeat you guys are on the show. I like how you try to focus on upbeat things because everything seems such a downer. And you know what? That's totally what the show is. That's what we like to focus on the show. That's what I want to deliver to you guys every single day. And so I find it really interesting when I can hear other people talking about how, you know what? Like, the world's actually a pretty good place. If you sit there for just even a half second and you try to acknowledge all the good things instead of just complaining about the bad things. So, like, listen to this. This is fascinating. And this is a reason to you know, like, this is a little context for how good things are today. And then I'm going to get into those Bill markups cuts in just a second. They're pretty funny. In 1800, among all babies who were born, roughly half died during their childhood. In 1905, this is just like a couple of facts that you can take with you. Some nuggets, some Jake's nuggets. In 1905, please don't call them that. In 1905, a Vermont doctor and a chauffeur were the first to successfully drive across the country. They went from San Francisco to New York. It took them, guess how long? 63 days. Today, you can fly across the country in a matter of hours, and you can look at wireless internet all the while. Let's see here. Speaking of flying has gotten 2,100 times safer in the last 70 years. 2016 was the safest year in aviation history. The odds of being fatally injured in a plane crash are just 0.00025%. In 1929, Americans spent more than 60% of their disposable income on necessities. By 2016, that had fallen to just a third. Think about that. There was no entertainment available to the average family in 1870 except for a few traveling musicians or circus performers or in-home board or card games. Today, entertainment options are almost unlimited. That's totally true. People just have so much. They have an excess, and maybe that's a problem. Bill Maher was talking about that. Listen to this. He says, listen, everyone seems to be obsessed these days with how bad everything is. Everyone's talking about mental health. But he doesn't think that the focus on mental health is maybe the best thing for your mental health.
Being obsessed with your mental health is bad for your mental health. I've been thinking a lot lately about a puzzle many are struggling with. Why are Biden's approval ratings so low when things are generally pretty good? Now, of course, there are problems. America's a big place. But wages are rising. Unemployment is negligible. The stock market is soaring. We somehow brushed off both the Trump presidency and the pandemic. Yes, inflation persists for a lot of things, but, you know, an actual good, nice-sized TV now costs $60. Who gets credit for that? We've got next-day shipping, stuffed crust pizza. Cheer the up.
He also was talking about how people are on antidepressants. Like, a lot of people are on antidepressants because they feel depressed, because they think life is so bad. But he says, you know what? Not everyone who's on antidepressants should be on antidepressants.
Without a doubt.
And again, he's not a doctor.
Antidepressants can be life-saving for those who need them. But here's the thing. About 3/4 of Americans who are on them haven't been diagnosed with depression at all. They just want a magic pill. We spend $6 billion a year on drug ads, all featuring someone emerging from darkness to play with a dog.
I thought this one was really interesting too. He basically says, like, we need to stop giving names to everything. He uses in this clip the example of somebody who might say that they have seasonal affective disorder because they get a little depressed when the weather's bad. I understand that people actually do get depressed, and I understand that there's clinical depression, but I get a little gray when it's gray skies. Lately, it's been so beautiful. It's been so nice. I feel like I'm on, I feel like I'm on some sort of a drug, but I think this is what sunlight does to you when you get outside. I have been outside more in the last couple of days than I have forever, which is a really good feeling. But listen to this. I thought he made some good points here.
But every bad feeling isn't a disease, and Americans really need to stop pathologizing everything. No one's just sad anymore. They're clinically depressed. They don't merely worry. They have chronic anxiety. Do you like things neat and organized? That's OCD. You're bummed when it's cold out? Seasonal depression. Hate being alone? Separation anxiety. Bored? That's ADHD. Shy? Social anxiety disorder. Why? Because you don't want to go to the office party? Nobody does. Best case scenario, you have too much fun and it leads to getting fired. Are you moody? No, you're bipolar. And some people are bipolar. And some people are on the spectrum. But sometimes on the spectrum is just a hall pass for being a jerk. Yes, you are on the spectrum, but so is everyone else alive. That's why they call it a spectrum. And it's not noble to glom onto the soft end of it. PTSD is for people who fought in Iraq, not for people who want to bring their dog on a plane.
He says a lot of people don't need, you know, they don't need medicine from Big Pharma. What they could just do with is a little sleep and something else.
Sometimes a bad day is just a bad day. When you constantly reinforce this message that no one's just a normal human with normal struggles, but we're all permanently in the head, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe the solution is much simpler. And you just went a week without sleep or sunlight. Maybe you have problems that could be solved with vegetables.
You know what? Back to his earlier point, he was saying that, you know, some people get a little nervous about going to the office, company party or something like that. Yes, that is true. But if you put yourself out there and if you try new things and you put yourself in uncomfortable situations, you do never know what's going to happen. Like, something great could happen. I, for instance, had one of my first connecting experiences with my wife, who I used to work with here at the radio station. She no longer works here, but now she's my wife. And had I not ventured out and done all the work stuff that I was supposed to, had I not gone to the company parties, we wouldn't have had a chance to really get to know each other and talk and other stuff. And then now we got four kids. So this kind of stuff can work out. Put yourself out there a little bit. And don't forget,
because you got a good life. You got a good life.
You got a good life. Focus on the positive. Accentuate the positive. It's like that song, right? That Perry Como song. All right. Yeah, Perry Como that everybody listens to. All right. We got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right. This article I found really fascinating. Matt actually sent this to me. Matt, nice find. Somebody asked a question. They said, is old TV shows that you might like and might rewatch many, 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 many times, are those good for the soul? And why are people so excited? And why do people tune into these old TV shows in staggering record numbers? Which kind of goes against what programmers might think that you'd be into. They spend a ton of money on TV. They spend a ton of money on like new TV shows. But people are tuning back in time and time and time again to some of their favorite shows on all these streamers. And why are they doing that? Listen to some of this data. This is interesting. NBC Universal committed to paying $500 million when they brought The Office exclusively back to Peacock. Can you remember, like, this was on Netflix for a while, and it was one of the shows that kind of made Netflix into Netflix because you could stream The Office at any point. I used to watch it so much on Netflix. It was just like one of those shows that was always in my continue watching area, and I would just pop it on, just like a friend to have in the background. At night or whenever, when I'm bored, if I'm doing some stuff for work, or it doesn't matter, I would just put it on. I just liked having them in the background. But NBC Universal for Peacock, they paid $500 million to bring Friends back. Warner Media, HBO Max, they paid $425 million for the exclusive rights to put Friends on their streaming service, HBO Max, for 5 years. $425 million. I think Seinfeld had another similar deal. Seinfeld, which has been off the air for like 30 years. A five-year deal for Seinfeld was like $500 million, I think, for Netflix. And so this article that Matt sent me, it's really interesting. He says the current rewatching, not he, the article says the current rewatching phenomenon is the stuff of endless online discussion as well as viral memes, with many framing it in similar ways. Time and time again, people say that they are drawn back to their favorite shows because of their feeling that starting something new might actually be more stressful than just watching something that you're already familiar with, which is actually kind of a bad, it's kind of a bad thing that we're less willing to try something new. And so we'll just keep watching old stuff over and over and over again. But the old stuff is really great. Like, I know people who watch Cheers forever. They will just always be watching Cheers. Now, these are all comedies. I don't know if this phenomenon is the same with more serious shows. Although there are more serious shows that I watch that I've watched many times. I've watched Breaking Bad a couple of times and I still love it and it's great and it's still great TV. You guys know who Billie Eilish is? Billie Eilish, she apparently is a massive fan of The Office, and she says, what does she say here? She says, it's my therapy. It's like my little escape. As stupid as it sounds, the show has gotten me through my whole life. Because she's kind of grown up in this era where The Office has been basically available to her for her entire life. The Office was on from 2000, I believe it was 2004 through 2013, had 9 seasons. She was such a fan that she actually sampled a little chunk of the show in one of her songs called My Strange Addiction. She actually put this funny Michael Scarn dance at the start of her song. Listen to this.
No, Billy, I haven't done that dance since my wife died.
There's a whole crowd of people out there who need to learn how to do the Scarn.
Don't ask questions.
Which is crazy. She just like put it in the song. But yeah, I know this to be true. I have watched The Office so many times. And you guys know, regular listeners to the show know, I love me some Office clips. I play them all the time. I have one about Michael screaming no when he's like yelling at Toby. I use that all the time on the show. It's hilarious. Because instantly, you guys recognize something that I recognize, and then there's like a camaraderie there. It's like this just shorthand between us because we all like the, I don't know, we all like The Office. I like The Office a great deal. I just pulled a couple of Office clips. This is dumb. Basically, this whole segment was just so I could play you some Office clips, which I really like, but it's crazy to me this show has been off the air for more than 10 years. 11 years now it's been off the air. But listen to this. This is Michael Scott talking about his sex life.
What is wrong with these people? They have no willpower. I once went 28 years without having sex. And then again for 7 years.
It's so stupid. Then again for 7 years. All right. I don't even have time to play any more Office clips. We are out of time. We have reached the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. I say this every night, but I hope you know that I do not take you for granted. And I want you to know that I really do mean this every single time I say this. It is an absolute joy that I get to come in here every night and I get to hang out with you and I get to do this show. This is my therapy. This is like, I just get to hang out with you guys, like good friends, and chill out. It's great. I love it. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending your time with us. We take it very seriously. For a show that's like pretty fun. Like, we take it really seriously, but the show's fun. So thank you guys for that. We got a lot of great stuff coming up this week. We have a good week of shows. We're already working on a bunch of stuff for later in the week. But for tomorrow, tune in tomorrow. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great show. A lot of fun news to talk about. I hope. We'll see what tomorrow brings. But for tonight, I got to get to bed. Night-night.